The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising, have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophets, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until they came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
While the world has seen Christmas come and go on December 26th, everything was gone, no more Christmas songs, nothing. On to the next, which was New Year's. Us, as Catholics, as Christians, we are still in the Christmas season. Hence the songs, hence that we are still celebrating Christmas. And as a matter of fact, Christmas continues till tomorrow when we commemorate the baptism of the Lord, and ordinary times will start on Tuesday. And today, in a special way, it is the Epiphany of Jesus Christ, of God. The appearance, the manifestation of God made man to humanity. The visit of the Magi confirming what had been prophesied, that God would be born a man as a babe and live like a human to save man from sin and death. In reality, we always associate the Epiphany with the three kings, but actually in ancient liturgy and not too far back in our history of the church, there were three parts to the Epiphany. One was the Magi visiting Jesus. The other was the actual baptism of Jesus in the Jordan. And then Jesus at the wedding of Cana, when he converts water into wine, his first public miracle. All these three are manifestations that God has come before us as a man. God the Creator, God the Maker, God that Spirit, God that Supreme Being that we really don't understand. We've never seen Him. We perhaps feel His love. We see the evidence of His works, of humanity in our children, the reflection of beauty, of creation. But what is God? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. Such a puzzle, such a mystery. And the Epiphany is simply the manifestation. Since before the Magi arrived in Bethlehem, it was the angel, it was Joseph and Mary that saw God in the flesh. And now, as the representatives of humanity, it was the Magi that said, "Yes, this is confirmed. He has been born." And the same way in the River Jordan, where Jesus in humility, he allows himself to be baptized. And again, the first miracle at the wedding of Cana, the manifestation of the power of God, that this is the Son of God, that he is able to perform a miracle. The humility of the Epiphany is that God lowers himself to be like you and I. And this came to mind, it's kind of a weird thought, but it's true. I don't know what they used for diapers back in the day. I didn't have Pampers. In my day, I think there was cloths and those pins that stuck you. But what did they use? So I'm trying to get to a point. Well, what did they use for Jesus? Certainly, Jesus was a baby. He soiled himself. And they had to put some kind of wrap. I don't know what it was. But the point is that God has humbled himself to go through what we go through. Teething, dirty diapers, hunger, anxiety. Every emotion known to us has occurred and went through God's hand. Because the Epiphany is simply an open invitation to the plan of God to make us God. To make us God. St. Augustine says that Jesus, that God became man so that man might become God. Might become God. We have to study that. We have to pray about that. We have to review that. We have to visit the Blessed Sacrament about that, because at the end of the day, it's about living forever. I read it came across a thought that the object of human desire can be basically placed in two categories. One is to know the truth. And what is that peculiar truth to you, to me? We all are seeking the truth. We look at ourselves in the mirror and we look and say, well, that is Angel in the mirror. That is John. That is Jane. That is Elizabeth, Michelle. But we're looking at ourselves into our eyes like, well, yeah, we're a human, but what is a human? Yeah, we walk, we can talk, and we think, and we're above the animal kingdom because we can think in consciousness. But we are told that we are made in the image of God. So, but what's that mean? So we seek truth. We seek truth. And the second desire of every human is that he wants to exist forever. Nobody wants to get sick. Nobody wants to be weak, and nobody wants to die. So to know the truth and to exist forever, those two every human desires. And so, my brothers and sisters, the Epiphany is simply the plan that God has for our restoration, for our renewal, to come back to where we fell as we inherit original sin that occurred in the Garden of Eden. The manifestation of God as a born babe, as a man born a babe, begs us that there's a different way back to God than the world will tell us. That the world will show us that the enticement of the world, there's a different way to live that leads to identification of man. That is the gift of Christmas. That is the gift of our religion. That is the gift that God wants to manifest to us, that he has now given us a plan of redemption, a plan of salvation. A way, as Christ will proclaim when he's an adult, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth, as every human wants, and the life forever that everybody wants. And in that is the way. Follow me, and you will have eternal life. As we are in the Christmas season, during this past week, we've been reading from the letter of St. John during this Christmas season. And on Wednesday, we read in the first reading, it states, children, let no one deceive you. Indeed, the Son of God was revealed to destroy the works of the devil. So we are in the Christmas season, and we are talking about the devil. Because if the devil had not enticed, tempted, and spoiled the plan and the paradise, we would not have inherited original sin. A mystery. A mystery. And again, once we can say, well, God could have prevented that. But what do we say on the Easter Vigil? Oh, blessed fault of Adam. Oh, necessary sin of Eve that has procured for us a son, a redeemer. Truth. Mystery. Enveloped in a babe, in an adult that dies and is crucified for us. And so the Epiphany is simply a battle plan. That from the very beginning of Jesus' life, it's a life of mystery. They couldn't find a place for this king to be born. And they found him. And they had to find, they couldn't find a place. So they found a place, a wretched stable. And so from the very beginning, nothing makes sense in this life of a God that loves us. And he comes to live a life not of a God, not of a king, but of a miserable, wretched human that from the very beginning is born in a stable. And from the very beginning, his own mother, as was prophesied by the prophet Simeon, she said, your child will be the rise and fall of many, and his sword will pierce your heart. It's continual anxiety. It's continual mayhem. And what happens? King Herod, as we read, chases him out of Bethlehem, and they have to flee to Egypt because they want to kill the child, because he is going to be the king that's going to replace all other kings. And of course, we know all the other prophecies that Simeon said, that Mary went through. The son, the death of her son, the abject poverty that they had to live in, because they were always moving around. Because this child was to be the foundation, the new order, and earthly kings wanted to destroy him. And so you see, my brothers and sisters, that we have in a way to live that it's not all good. It's not all happy. It's not all perfect. And we know that in our life. We know that in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls. That we suffer. That we suffer affliction. And from the very beginning, as this plan of restoration and redemption plays out, it plays as one of affliction. One of suffering. At another level, God becomes a man to explain to us, as he does throughout the Old Testament, that we can never be happy with the possession of ourselves. The world will tell you that. The world will tell you that, gimme, 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 it's all about me, I want it all, I can do it all. But yet, if we possess ourselves, where does that end? We are a finite being. And if we continue to seek ourselves and not seek anything else but ourselves, it's a dead end. It's a dead end. Because we die. Because we seek and we don't know that truth. And we seek and we want life. But we can't get it except in the truth of God and in the life of eternity. Truth and happiness and eternal life can only come through the possession of God. And that's why the Epiphany occurs, to give us this plan of our restoration. But this is just the same story that happened in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is simply God over and over and over again telling him his plan for them. That your life is not going to be all roses. And if you read the history of Israel, it was hard. They were the chosen people, the monotheists. They didn't believe in the cats and all the different gods that Egypt. You go to Egypt, you see all these gods that they believed in. They believed in the one true God. But what does the prophet Sirach say in the Old Testament? When you come to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for trials. You see, Israel's problem, it wasn't a crisis of faith. They didn't fail time and time again because they didn't have faith. Their crisis was a crisis of understanding the ways of God. And we all know that in the movies, how the chariots of the Egyptians are chasing the Israelites through the desert, and they come up to the Red Sea, and the Red Sea's there, and they're coming, and we see all this stuff going on, and what's going to happen? The drama where they're chasing, they're going to kill the Israelites. And what happens? The sea's parted. The sea's parted, they go through dry land, dry shot, they cross over, and the sea, what does it do? It goes up again, it engulfs the Egyptians. God comes to the salvation of the Israelites. And what happens in the desert after that happens? And the Psalms are clear, and Scripture is clear in the Old Testament. They began again to forget the Lord and would not wait upon the will of the Lord. And they became, once again, became lower to their nature and participated in all kinds of sin. Let's face it. When things are smooth, when things are good, when we're happy and everything is good, God tends a little bit to go away. The time that we spend on our knees tends to be a little bit less. And let's face it, that when trouble comes or tragedy strikes or some suffering, then the pressure and the time on our knees goes up a little bit. But you see that God's plan is one that He wants us to cling to Him. He wants us to know that He is the King, not any government, not any earthly institution, but that He is your lover. He is your maker. And in a mysterious way, the only way that that can be done is through affliction. In the life of the Holy Family, the life of Mary, the life of Joseph, the life of Christ, the life of the saints, the life of the prophets, the life of all those that have followed Jesus Christ is one of the battle against affliction and pain and God coming to their rescue. None other. There's nothing else. So it's not that the Israelites didn't understand. They understood. They believed. They just didn't understand the way of God. Until God says, I will show them myself. I will become a God. I will become a man. I will become a baby. I will live like them. I will eat like them. And I will suffer a suffering that has never existed since the beginning of time. So that's it. That is the plan that God gives us. The plan of our redemption, of our restoration. Let us embrace now, once again, as we begin a new year of ordinary time, to embrace, understand this mystery. I read somewhere, and I don't know who wrote it, but it states that we can live our life in one of two ways. One is as though nothing is a miracle, or the other, as though everything is a miracle. All is grace. All things work out for those that love God. Let us study Scripture. Let us pray. Let us embrace this loving God that will send us trials, but it is to shape us, to form us into His Son. And know that He states over and over again, come to me, all ye who are burdened, for my yoke is easy.